Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. The smoke is clear now from the budget debate on the Homeland Security Department for fiscal 2015. The next obstacle Congress has in front of it is raising the debt limit. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell went out on a limb this weekend and said no shutdown over the debt limit debate. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and looking at that deadline and others that are approaching as Congress comes back to work next Monday. It's great to talk to you as always, my friend. The shutdown, that's quite a promise that Senator McConnell made, and I imagine it was music to the ears, not just of many people at in the executive branch, but there are probably a lot of folks in Congress that are ready to get beyond the brinksmanship, I imagine, David.
You know, I think that's true, and I think that Senator McConnell means it, and I don't want to be rattling any cages here, but this was also the same Mitch McConnell who came out and faced the press the morning after the election when it was clear he was going to be majority leader and said there'd be no shutdown over appropriations either. So it's not really it's not entirely his call to make. And just because he says that does not mean that there will not be some people on the House side. I mean, I think what you can take his word that means the Senate Republicans aren't going to mess around with the debt ceiling. I think we need to have trust but verify at a minimum with the House Republicans that they're not going to try and play that same game.
But I'm struck by the conversations that we had throughout this debate and on Homeland Security, and especially in the last several days. Not long after you were on the program last Monday and we talked about how this was headed to the final stages,
right.
I read a report, I believe, from one of your colleagues covering the House side where they spoke to one of the members who wouldn't name him or herself, but said, we know we're going down in defeat. So I wonder if at some point you get punched in the head enough times, you say, you know what, I'm just not going to let myself get punched in the head. Or if that's maybe I'm not understanding the mentality of the folks who are behind all of these things.
You know, that has not been their approach in the previous 4 years, at least not their lasting approach. Sometimes they get punched in the head and then they sit out another battle and then they come back and allow themselves to get punched in the head again. I mean, I think what the shut, you probably talked about this till you and everybody else is blue in the face, but I think what last week showed was that John Boehner has a pretty easy time of it if he is willing to essentially be a coalition speaker and not just the speaker of the Republicans. If he's willing to take less than half the Republicans, maybe even only a third or a quarter of the Republicans, who feel like they're in totally safe seats and don't need to, do this sort of hostage taking that seems to appeal to the Tea Party right, he can take that minority of the House majority and bond together with the Democrats and get some things done pretty easily. But that is only a strategy that he can continue to exercise until either the Republicans coalesce around somebody else as Speaker who they could all support, or almost all of them could support, or John Boehner just reminds people this is my last term and I'm leaving, which is I wouldn't be surprised to hear that in the coming months.
And if that's what we hear, then it wouldn't surprise me if we saw more minority of the majority stuff, because what does he care? I mean, at that point, it becomes a legacy issue.
Right. In fact, he does care, right, because he wants it as a legacy issue.
What does he care about the majority of the majority stuff?
Exactly. Especially because as we're reporting, I believe the story doesn't post till tomorrow, but it's, our story is essentially what some other people have hinted at, which is, you know, you can't beat somebody with nobody, and the Republican conservatives got nobody, certainly not anybody who could unify the Republicans any more than John Boehner can. And just to remind in one sentence, it's not like the Republicans, like 150 of the 240 Republicans can say, down with John Boehner, let's put up Fred instead. Fred's got to get a majority of the entire House to get elected as Speaker.
Well, I know that historically, though, each party has stayed out of the other party's business when it comes to that.
Right.
And so I wonder what the numbers would have to look like in the caucus before somebody like Boehner would say, you know what, it's obvious this isn't headed in the right direction, even if I'm not sunk yet. You know, kind of a not even a Bob Livingston situation exactly, but maybe a Gingrich 1997 situation where he wasn't completely defeated yet, but it was obvious it was going to happen, and so he just threw in the towel.
Yeah, I would say that if that happens, John Boehner will try and manage it so that it happens on the normal timetable, i.e. after the next election. And there is actually some evidence that the Democrats, some Democrats, maybe even all the Democrats, would, if they had to, they would help John Boehner out to prevent somebody even more confrontational and conservative from becoming Speaker.
That's an encouraging sign because that indicates that their motivation would be to get things done and try to get some accommodation with the Republican majority rather than put themselves in a situation where they know they would be politically opposites and just be banging heads for a couple of years till they could try to take the majority back.
Right. It's a small degree of difference, but they'd rather work with somebody who's 150 degrees different than they are than 179 degrees different than they are.
The timeline that we're seeing starting to play out with the budget, it's coming more into focus.
It is.
And we'll talk about that in a moment. But overall, do we think that's an encouraging sign, or is it just the way things have developed for the last decade or so that haven't worked out very well in the end?
No, I think this is, I think it's an encouraging sign if what you're looking for is signs of some so-called regular order. I mean, I think the now there's kind of no excuse now with a unified Republican Congress that's controlled on both sides by the Republicans. There's sort of no excuse since the president does not have to sign a budget resolution. This is an entirely congressional exercise for the Republicans to get together and at least write a budget that the House Republicans and the Senate Republican majorities can agree on.
We're learning that the House Budget Committee will release its markup of the resolution next Monday.
Right.
Senator Mike Enzi, the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, then Tuesday of next week starts to mark up theirs. What kind of timetable do those usually follow? Will we see something within several days? Will it be a week, 2 weeks?
Generally it's the House. Custom has been to do, and I don't know why they do it this way, but the House custom has been to do one incredibly long markup that starts in the morning and often goes until early the next morning. I mean, sometimes it's literally like a 19-20 hour marathon.
Wow!
That they just plow through it, and I think it's because the chairman essentially they leave it open to amendment for as long as the Democrats want to keep trying to amend it, and then they just hope that eventually Democrats want to go home and get some sleep, and they can move the thing to final passage. Now, there's a new chairman this year on both sides, Tom Price from Georgia, new chairman of the House Budget Committee, so we don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but that's been the practice on both the Democratic and the Republican sides for, I think, almost my entire time here. Senate side, I think it usually takes a couple of days. Maybe we'll have some indication on Wednesday, because we are going to see Senator Enzi, the new chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, is going to have a hearing hearing on the virtues of a balanced budget, because apparently he is hinting that his budget will call for a balance in 10 years, and so he's going to have former Governor Engler, the head of the Business Roundtable, Michigan Governor Engler, will come up and testify about the importance of balanced budgets, and maybe we'll get a little bit more of a hint about what he's doing.
One of your competitors last week alluded to the fact that Congressman Price and Senator Enzi are not working collaboratively. They're not planning out the same resolution together. And as I read that, I thought, well, no, that's not how it works, and you've just explained why that's not how it works. It doesn't strike me that that's something to be terribly concerned about at this point, that the two resolutions might look different, and at some point, what, they would go to conference and work them out or something?
Yeah, that's how quaint. That is the...
I thought that's kind of how you're supposed to do it.
That's how it's supposed to work, right. So in theory, so long as they're both being written by, fiscal conservatives, and the driving forces behind both are Republican fiscal conservatism, that in theory... And you can't filibuster a budget resolution, and of course in the House it just takes a majority to get one through. So in theory, a Republican, if no Democrats vote for these things, They can be different, and then they go to conference, and there is a conference meeting, and a bunch of Republican fiscal conservatives can get in the room, and, you know, golly gosh help us if they can't get to a conference agreement.
God bless them all if that doesn't work. So it sounds.
And then we're off to the races. We got an appropriation. Then if they can do that by the middle of, gosh, it's been so long now, 6 years since they actually did it this way.
I know.
If they do it by the middle of April, that's the deadline supposed to be done. And if they do it even by the middle of May, the appropriators have to wait, because that's where they're supposed to get their marching orders, because the budget resolution, in theory, sets the so-called top line for discretionary spending, which is what the appropriators work with.
And the next thing you know, we'll see ghosts of budget committees passed and appropriations committees passed, all just throwing a big party on the Hill.
Yes, Barbara Mikulski would say, woulda, coulda, shoulda.